This is the Blockchain Billions Podcast with your host, Henrik de Geer.
I'm Henrik de Geer. Today I'm speaking with Raphael Samuel Lajeunesse. Raphael, how are you?
I'm okay, how are you?
Great. Raphael, who are you and what do you do?
So I am an investor and advisor to asset management firms and fintech firms. And I'm involved in robo-advisor, blockchain, marketplaces, and I help companies develop and raise money, and also advise a larger asset manager and financial services firm to embrace new technologies.
Raphael, how are you involved with blockchain?
So I'm involved in two different ways. I'm working fairly closely with some blockchain companies. One of them is focused on mostly protocols for the financial service industry. Another one is involved in cryptocurrency directly. And I also work with financial services firms, mostly on the asset management side and private banks, where they look at solution to streamline their processes. And as part of that, they look at different fintech services. And blockchain is one of them that they're looking pretty closely at. So I help them implement blockchain solutions for their firms, basically.
Raphael, what are the biggest challenges and successes with blockchain?
So what we've seen in recent years, and it's been widely publicized, is essentially everything related to cryptocurrencies. There's been a number of articles, books, and a number of companies in that space, and it's been probably the most visible part of blockchain. The challenges, I would say, is that cryptocurrencies are not so well understood. They're difficult for a number of institutions to embrace, and they're difficult for the regulator in particular. And that's why a lot of regulators have not completely decided what to do with cryptocurrencies. Bitcoin is obviously a very well-known aspect of the blockchain. There's been also a number of cases that I would say that create suspicion around Bitcoin. And we know some firms like JP Morgan are not at all in favor of cryptocurrencies. But it's true of the regulators, where they also have said that there's real issues around controlling who is really supplying money in Bitcoins or currencies in Bitcoins. And we've seen also, for example, when there's been stresses in the markets, we've seen the Chinese or the Greeks or, you know, Cyprus residents buying Bitcoin as an alternative to other currencies. So we can see that it has a little bit of a controversial aspect, because it tends to do well when there's a crisis. And on the other hand, it's very difficult to control. So that's one of the most visible aspects of blockchain. Personally, I don't think that that's the area where blockchain will be the most successful, because as we've seen in, you know, the history of currencies, it's very difficult for a currency to impose itself. We've seen it with the dollar. It took a long time, and now it's the dominant currency. We see it with the euro. It took a long time, and now it's well accepted, but there's still a lot of skepticism around the European construction. And then we see it with the Chinese currency, like the renminbi. It's been recently accepted at the IMF, but it took a really long time for China to get accepted. And so I think there's a limit for cryptocurrencies to be accepted. Where I see more success for blockchain in the future is anything that has a degree of complexity to gather information that changes all the time. So there's a lot of areas that I think have not been tapped around: property, contracts, even health. And in the financial services, like all the KYC processes. So it's the not so, you know your customer and this kind of stuff. So not necessarily the most visible part, not necessarily the most sexy part, but areas where it's very difficult to produce administrative documents and backups of documents and transactions that can be recorded in a very simple way. A lot of those records, for example, property rights, a lot of countries is still paper-based. So that's an area, I think, where there's a lot of potential development. It's the same on art. There's a lot of developments around copyright, for example, and how to transfer digital assets. That's a very big field. I don't think it's been as widely publicized. And I do think that that's where we'll see some success with blockchain. And I think we'll forget a little bit about the whole currency aspect. That's at least my prediction.
In your point of view, what will blockchain augment, change, or replace?
Well, I think what we've seen already is that what it can augment is basically making, you know, transaction transfer from, I would say, an analog space or physical space into a digital space. So that's where I think there's the biggest development. In terms of change, I think it can enable a lot of countries and a lot of specific sectors to get a greater level of security in recording information and in securing information and transferring information. And as we've seen with all the issues around hacking and espionage event between countries, I think it's getting more and more important. I mean, cybersecurity is very, very tricky, but keeping a record of transactions in different countries is even more complicated. So I think that's an area of change, this whole issue around security and international development. The other areas where I can see some change are in, you know, sectors where we have a lot of transactions and we need information to process those transactions. So, you know, transport, for example, like car rental, if you want to get an insurance for car rental, today you pay a very high premium because you essentially subsidize the bad drivers and there's no way to know if you're a good driver or a bad driver. So you can imagine that you have a blockchain system where the information is recorded and stays on a ledger and is available to other car rental companies. So when you rent a car, you have a record of your driving ability. So that's another example. So there's a lot of fields domestically that are interesting that will be using blockchain. And I see a big development for international, for all those countries where you don't have good property ledgers. So I think there's a number of change that will come, especially as the cost of processing continues to go down. I think that will be a big area of development.
Rafael, how will people make money with blockchain?
So today, you know, as you know, probably like the miners have been the ones making money and the economics have changed in July this year. So they're making less money for every transaction. I think in the future, what we'll see, and that's what I work on mostly with financial services firm, is that they look at blockchain and they look at not just using the protocol, but maintaining the system, creating the integration. And basically more and more, it's looking like a software business. So it's interesting because I think there is a certain degree of complexity. It is linked to transactions. So there's an interesting business model around paying for blockchain as a service with all the service associated, all the records going with it, all the updatings going with it. So I think that it will follow a pretty classic path that we've seen in the software industry and go away from the miners. That's probably what we would expect.
And what advice do you have for those interested in blockchain?
I think that there's many different angles to blockchain. I think, first of all, I think we have to look at it more from a technology standpoint. I think there's been too much publicity on cryptocurrency and not so positive. So I think it's interesting to look at it a bit like we've discovered the internet when it first happened, and that was a big change. I think blockchain has the potential to be also a very significant new protocol that will change the way we transact, the way we exchange information. So I think for those who are interested in this, I think that there's many different angles. Obviously, from the technological standpoint, it's an open source software, so it's quite interesting to be able to look at it. But also from, I would say, either the angle of software services, there's a lot of development to do because integration is complex with existing systems. And that I see firsthand with the banks. They usually have legacy systems, so that's another angle. And I think in the areas of development and working with financial institution in developing countries or large financial institution like the World Bank, etc., there's a lot of fields there where blockchain could be interesting because, as I said, it will reduce the uncertainty, create more transparency and more security. So I think that's a big challenge for everyone. So I think that's the three angles that I see for people that want to get involved.
Great. Well, thanks, Raphael.
Thank you.
For more on this, visit blockchainbillionspodcast.com. Be sure to subscribe, rate, and review. And for a book about this, check out blockchainbillionsbook.com. Thanks for listening.